Welcome to the Feed Central Hay Matters podcast. I'm your host, John Paul Driver. Today I'm joined by Dave Clothier. He's the National Sales Manager for Feed Central. Welcome to the podcast.
Great to be here again. Thanks, JP. Seems like an eternity since we last spoke.
Well, you've been to, is it BeefX?
2 weeks ago. Yeah. That's right.
And then, of course, we're on the tail end of hay season. Let's talk about supply first. What's it look like region by region?
Okay. Thanks, JP. It's still unfolding. There's still a little bit to go in the south, but largely the hay making season has finished. Just starting in the north, like the grain harvest is well underway now, although it's been upset by some recent weather events, so that'll slow things down a little bit. Hay production's largely finished up here. Some of it's found some local homes, but with the north, you know, we're challenged by shed availability, so there's lots of paddock stacks out there and they have their own challenges, especially as we have entered into our wet season, so to speak, with the storm season well underway over recent days. Northern and central New South Wales, that's mostly made or on the ground, and sheds are pretty full with the dedicated hay growers. The opportunists have certainly had a crack, not to the scale or the hype in the industry that has been vocalised over recent months. We'll talk about a bit more about that later on.
Mm-hmm.
Southern New South Wales and Vic, production's either completed or underway. There has been a lot of hay on the ground over the last few weeks, and it has had quite a bit of weather on it. So there has been a challenge with quality hay production. But that's okay because the industry needs all grades of hay, and Feed Central particularly manages that job very well through our platform and our lab. South Australian Vic, they continue to be challenged. The yields are well back. Depending on who you talk to, you know, it's somewhere between 30 and 50% of the production from last year. So it's well back. They've had some recent rain, but it's done little to...
Too late for that golden hay crop. Right?
Yeah, too late for that, but it's done little for the local demand perspective as well because the pasture growth just hasn't come there. So, they're still struggling. I think the overarching thing really is the recent weather events have certainly affected the quality of hay with reasonable volumes across all grades. So, which is something the industry needs, but the challenges of these recent weather events have either damaged it in the windrow or they've prevented harvest to the point that the crop's matured, resulting in a lower grade of product at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a big one. There was a lot of hype, you know, about 6 weeks ago of huge volumes of frosted crops going to hay production. I think it doesn't matter who you speak to in the industry right now, most of the hay producers particularly realise that just hasn't come to fruition. A number of factors contributing there. It all came at once. There wasn't enough contractors in the system to be able to bale the product through the window that there was. With a lot of the crops being so high yielding, even with frost damage, they still were taken through to grain.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was a lot of talk about a lot of canola crops going to hay production. That certainly hasn't come to fruition. I'm not saying there hasn't been some made, but with canola prices, like if there was anything worthwhile harvesting, they certainly did rather than going to hay production.
Mm-hmm.
So the canola production certainly from a hay perspective just didn't come about. And that's a pretty strong message to the industry, really. Like, there's just not the volume of quality hay that we would have predicted, you know, last time we spoke, JP. Not saying it's not there, but just not the volume.
And take me through the overlap between the drought-affected region and the frost-affected region. What geographies are we talking about, and how did that interact?
Oh, well, if we go down to South Australia and Western Vic, they actually, they copped it from both. They were certainly, their crops were drought affected, and then right towards the end, they had the big frost impact as well, and there were some pretty serious losses to some of those growers down there. If we get into the New South Wales area, enjoying good seasons, like there's good pasture growth around and high-yielding crops that the frost had an effect on, but because of the status of the crops, there was enough volume there to take through to grain, which is what they've largely done. There's still some frosted crops that are either on the ground now or going to be cut in the next sort of 7 to 10 days, but that'll be about the end of it. Otherwise, the crops are too mature anyway for production, hay production. The other thing I should just say, from a protein hay perspective, there is very little vetch sown for this season. And what vetch was out there, we've seen lower yields than we've done in previous years. And the quality, although there are some very good quality vetches out there, there is a reasonably low supply of vetch, which obviously affects particularly the dairy sector. But that's something to be mindful of. And the loosened production as well in that other protein space, we can see that that is going to continue to be in reasonably high demand, which will help firm up prices in that space. Yep.
We're not seeing the volume of hay that we would have thought would come 6 weeks ago when the frost events hit. And then what has been harvested is of varying quality. Not bad or particularly good, but variable depending on region and when the rain hit.
Yeah. Because of the weather, what we've seen is hay left the windrow longer than we would have liked. So there's more bleaching, just a downgrade in general quality. Yeah. Thicker stems because of the
maturity.
Because of the season we've had. Yep. And that's what we're saying.
Lower fiber digestibility, just not as good a hay, right?
Yeah, higher NDFs than we saw last season. You know, tip in those cereal hays where we saw those sort of 50s or low 50s last year, like they're probably in the mid 50s to a little bit higher than that we've seen this year so far through our lab.
Now, on the demand side,
a generalised statement, because of the season that we've been enjoying through the majority of the eastern seaboard, apart from Western Vic and South Australia, and you know, western parts of New South Wales and Queensland are starting to suffer too as temperatures rise. But generally, the market has been very slow. And I think a function of that is, you know, pasture availability, number one. But the other one, I think, is this hype around this massive stockpile of hay that was going to be produced, and that would drive prices further. I think the reality of it is that we're at a point in time where we've got the best opportunity to buy right now, because we've got the greatest selection of this year's production on the shelf, so to speak. And I don't think the consumers or the buyers are fully aware of that at this point. So there's people holding back, thinking that the market's going to go down. Right now, talking to some pretty serious producers right across the country, like our feeling at the moment is the price is stabilised and it will continue to remain roughly where it is through to the Christmas period. The dedicated hay growers are releasing product to the market, recouping production costs. Yeah. And a lot of them are wanting to sit on their product where they've got the ability to shed the product, manage it, and wait for demand to increase. There's a lot of that talk within the industry, and I can fully appreciate that. I've only been in this role for 3 years, but something I've seen that I haven't seen the years I've been here and talking to other people in the industry, an anomaly is that the price is pretty much static across New South Wales and Vic and South Australia particularly. Like an A-grade cereal hay is making $20 either side of $250. That's a static number that everybody seems to appreciate that's where it is at the moment.
Slight variances on barn stored or covered or the distance to ship, right?
Yeah. I think the price similarity across the industry reflects the demand moving forward, I think, in that you know, we're going to see demand lift again through circumstances in that Western Vic and South Australia job just because of the low yields, the empty sheds going into the season. Like, I think those southern New South Wales and Victorian producers, they can move that hay across that way or they can move it north. So the demand, I feel, is going to be pretty even either way. And I think that's the reasoning in my head about why the number's pretty much the same across the board.
Anything special going on in livestock markets? Rather, let me try that again. You were at BeefX. What did you learn there?
Look, it continues to improve every year, but the BeefX event, it was very professionally run. There was a high level of confidence about where the industry's at, and the export opportunity for the beef sector continues to be strong. Our standards in the grain-fed industry are exceptional, like they are world-class, and because of what's happening in the US, as you're well and truly aware of, the opportunity for the export side of the beef industry remains very strong and will continue to remain strong in Australia. So the continued investment in technologies and supporting young people coming through the business, the continued expansion across the feedlot sector, and the confidence that continues in that space augurs very well. I think for the fodder industry, the more cattle I got to feed, obviously the better it is for hay producers. So that's very confident. The national herd is still very strong, so that guarantees supply into the feedlot sector for the foreseeable future. So that part of it is very healthy from that standpoint. Pastures are so strong across the majority of New South Wales and Queensland. I imagine that we will see records show that there's going to be high pregnancy rates, high branding rates, high weaning numbers, all those sort of thing to support the positive nature of the industry moving forward from a supply perspective. And we're also seeing a forecast wet end to spring and through to summer, through to next February really, which certainly gives people confidence about supply going forward from the livestock perspective. And prices are still very healthy.
And sheep and dairy?
Sheep is still very strong and I can't see much of a change there in the foreseeable future. The dairy sector, like they have taken a hit in recent times and they are managing their purchase decisions more closely than ever, but that's nothing new in the dairy sector. They tend to look at their feed tests and manage their purchase decisions a lot more closely than the other livestock sectors, and so they should. But they will be challenged by the variable grades that have been produced through this year's hay season. So it will be a challenge to find the right product at the best delivered price. So they will be watching very closely. They're already challenging us with finding suitable quality and volumes of vetch, which we're trying to get the industry to understand that there just is not that volume there that the hype was around, you know, a month or 6 weeks ago. It just wasn't planted, to be honest, the vetch in the same volumes it was in previous years.
And any commentary on the export market? I'm just looking at the Australian dollar dropping to, from an American perspective, that's actually terrible news. I think about it backwards probably, but 65 cents to buy an Australian dollar.
Look, what we're saying, like there was some activity from exporters early in the season, and that's when all the hype was out there about these massive volumes of hay production and quality, like high quality volume. So they, from what I understand, they went pretty quiet for a space in time, and they're just lifting the activity again. Largely, it's supported by the same numbers that we spoke about earlier. From what I understand, you know, that 250 give or take, because they're, you know, from recent conversations, you know, that 290 sort of delivered is the number I'm hearing at the moment. Some of it's a little bit further north than that. But I would appreciate that may strengthen once the hay production is totally complete and there's a clear understanding of what this stockpile looks like. But I think the reality is there is not those volumes of quality cereal hay out there that were expected. There are larger volumes of what we would call a B-grade type product, where it's sat in the windrow a bit longer, it's had bleaching, or it's had a fall of rain on it, or any of those factors that affect the quality. From a feed central perspective, I think a message that we're having every single day, all of our account managers, is trying to explain to our customers that we are at a point in time where there's the greatest opportunity to find the right product for their needs, and we're trying to get people to think about when demand is going to be in their particular enterprise, and to find the right product now and secure it for the future, because there isn't that huge volume of quality hay out there. There's no need to panic by any means. You know, buying fodder is a function of two things, and one is to find the right quality, and the other is to find it in the right location to achieve the best outcome from a delivered price. So if we're starting to wait until the new year or after that sort of thing, when we're getting closing to weaning and all those types of events here in Australia, if we wait to make our purchase decision then, the reality, I think, is it's just going to be further away from where they are now. Mm-hmm. And possibly they may have to accept a lower quality than what they could achieve today. I think now is the time for our customers to reach out to us and at least have the conversation and understand what's in the market today and make their purchase decisions based on facts.
You just gave advice to hay buyers. What would you give any different advice to hay sellers?
Because demand is so low, and we, like this time last year, we had that forecast El Nino type event where we were going to go into a dry summer and people panicked and there was product being bought out the back of balers. That just hasn't eventuated this year from a demand perspective. And all that hype out there about this huge volume of product hasn't eventuated to the extent that was forecast. So from a seller perspective, our advice and what the bigger growers are doing anyway is they're releasing a volume of product onto the market at the market price today, which we've covered, that 250 either side of 20 bucks, and recoup their harvesting costs or their baling costs, and then play the longer game going into early next year. And that's what our growers are telling us. So again, from a buying perspective, it's a sort of a call to action from the buyer's perspective, that if they don't take the opportunity to secure the right product now, and I'm talking within the next sort of 4 to 6 weeks running up to Christmas, I think they're going to be paying more and they may not be getting the same grade of product that they could buy today, if we talk about dollars per megajoule or similar type scenarios.
Sure. Yep.
I suppose the only unknown that I haven't brought up, like we've spoken about a protein shortage, you know, very little vetch production and protein hay just generally being in short supply. The unknown at the moment, but my gut tells me that there's going to be an opportunity for a volume of dry land lease, and particularly through New South Wales. Like, that could assist the market from a demand perspective going forward. But that one we'll just have to wait and see, you know, what transpires through November and December.
Is the cereal hay a competitive product or a complementary product to the protein hay?
It's a complementary type product, depending on the enterprise and the circumstances that the buyer demands.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on their business needs. From a dairy perspective, it depends on the volume and quality silage that they've produced. That has an effect on whether they need a cereal type hay or a protein type hay. Mm-hmm. If we're talking about in the beef sector, if it's a weaning type scenario, a high protein hay with a really good aroma and green soft hay is what they're looking for. If it's a maintenance type ration, that's where you can come back into your lower grades. Generally speaking, and an induction type period through a feedlot, they're looking for those aromas, you know, soft, high quality hays is what they're looking for through any of those educational type scenarios within the livestock sector. And that's the one I think there needs to be some action on in the coming, you know, 6 to 8 weeks leading up to Christmas. Look, those critical points through production of weaning type scenarios or inducting cattle into a feedlot or sheep into a feedlot, that type of thing, that aroma and quality of product is paramount. That's the most important thing. It is reasonably interesting at the moment. I think we might see protein hays firming up because of supply. But right now in certain areas, like that cereal, quality cereal hay and reasonably well-testing Lucerne hays are at parity. So I think people need to look at that because there's always an assumption that protein hay is going to cost me more. I think now's the time to study the market, reach out to somebody like Feed Central and speak to people in the game to understand what are the best outcomes for my own situation and business.
Now, Dave, what I just heard you say there, you might be thinking that protein hay prices could firm up and that now would be a good time to at least take a look at it for your business.
Certainly. Absolutely. That is 100% spot on.
That's a great takeaway, Dave. Thank you for joining us again, Dave. As always, your insights are wonderful and no doubt will help folks.
Thanks very much, JP. Look forward to catching up again once or twice between now and Christmas.
I've been joined by Dave Clothier, National Sales Manager for Feed Central. A big thanks to our regular guest today for sharing valuable insights. This podcast is proudly presented by Feed Central. Stay tuned in for our upcoming episodes.